He says, because I have overcome the world. When Jesus came to this earth, he came for one reason. And that one reason was not to overcome the world. That one reason was you. He came for you, and he came for me. You know, and so when he overcame the world, what he did was he took all of our problems and he put them in one bundle and said, no longer are you going to dominate my people. There are going to be struggles in life. Was you praising God or were you trying to get my attention?
You did perfect. I had to stop and start the recording halfway through. So you did perfect pausing when I raised my hand.
Well, yeah, Monica, she can get pretty expressive over there, man, and you know she'll be praising the Lord, and sometimes she'll be over there crying. You know, Heather said that when I read this story that Monica was going to be crying. So I don't know
I don't know what happened,
but we didn't bring any.
It was there, brother.
Yeah. So,
but I thought if I lost it, you might lose it. So I held it.
Oh, I probably would have that. Oh my gosh, I've read this thing 3 times, and the first time I read it, I cried like a baby because it's so real to me, you know. And when I read it to my mother and the group last night. Well, my mother's my greatest critique, and. She said that, man, you read that so vividly and so real. I said, Mom, it came out of me. I know what it says. I know where we're going, you know. And so sometimes that'll hurt you if you know where you're going, you know. So, I hope that touched your heart, touched your mind, because definitely Rick Spain wrote it, but it didn't come from Rick Spain. It came from the Spirit of the Most High God. So understand, you're going to have struggles in life. You know, and next thing I want to bring out is where Jimmy found that stone. You know, and I want to talk about the stone and the one that he found on the ground. You know, and when he found that stone, his life turned around. There was absolutely no question about it. His life turned around. It went from bad to great, you know, almost in an instant. And, you know, it's a matter of attitude, you know. That attitude changed. We might talk about that in a minute. But what I want to key on is that we have encounters in life where it seems like it is a turnaround. And I can tell you in business where I've seen specific events, specific things fall in place that caused the business to go from average to greater than average. You know, and I hope that everyone sees or have experienced this with us when we've done our work. You know, but I've seen it go from good to great, you know, and so then we look at, well, what caused that? And we think, well, it was this item right here. This item is what caused this immediate jump in business. And so then what we do is we begin to place our hopes upon that event. You know, I'm going to go back even further. When I started my true occupational career, of course, I worked when I was a teenager and, you know, worked in restaurants and this and that, you know, hauled hay. I did a lot of different stuff, mowed lawns. But when I started my career when I was 18 years old, it was 1980. And being in this area of the world, we know the significance of 1980. That was when we had the big oil boom. And so it was like money was flowing freely. Everybody had money. If you didn't have money, you wondered why. You know, so this is where I started. I went from making like $3 an hour to jumping up to $10 an hour. And I thought, man, I've found part of heaven here. You know, and so it was interesting because, you know, they'd tell us, you know, I roughnecked is what I did. And so they would tell us on the job, they'd say, well, you know, when we finish this one, we got 10 more after this. We got 10 more holes we got to drill. You know, and so we did, you know, I'm young. I just thought, yeah, we got 10 more. You know, and so I continued on, and then 1982 hit. The market fell. The oil boom went bust. And so then I had a wake-up call in life, and I realized that even though I thought that that was the stone that was going to be the supplier of my life, I realized, no, that's not it. You know, but what we tend to do is we'll do that. You know, we'll think, well, if the market would just go up, if you know, if they'd quit interfering with drilling, then, you know, then our economy would get better. You know, well, these things may be true, but that is not where our hope is. You know, I'm thinking, think about in Psalms, it says, some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots. And so this is where we find our difficulties. When we start trusting in the things in this world. You know, I think about where we are and you know, with all the elections just going on. You know, there's some people happy and some people sad. If you are a child of God, I'm going to tell you that there were a lot of us that were putting our hope in this election and thinking, and then we're hearing the news, well, you know, it's going to be a landslide this way, and we're thinking, well, you know, we get them all in here, and then we'll get our country straightened back up. You know, and I knew even before the election that, you know, even if we got the people in there that we wanted and believe that they're going to work on our best interest, they're not going to fix the problems. You know, I may get back to this later. You know, when we put our trust in things of this world, well, once again, we got guarantees in life. The things in this world will dissipate. I mean, they have an inclination to decrease. We think, well, if we do this and this and this, we'll produce an increase. And some people are successful in that. But it's only because this fell in place and that fell in place. By nature itself, when you buy something new, it immediately begins to devalue. And we need to understand this. Because when we put our trust in the things of this world, we will be disappointed. Some may trust in horses and some may trust in chariots. But we will trust in the name of our God. You know, when I talk about the name of our God, that's the name that's above every name. You know, the scripture tells us that at the name of Jesus, every name that can be named will have to bow and confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. You know, and so we need to understand that there is something we can trust in. Those who put their trust in the Lord will never be disappointed. Psalms 25:2. And so, you know, this is things that, you know, and the Spirit of God is calling out to us, put your trust in me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. I can tell you that there is not a false hope in this. There's a false hope in that stone that's laying on the ground. No matter how shiny it may be, no matter how much it makes you feel, no matter how much it looks like it's doing something in your life, we cannot put our hope or our trust in that. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount on wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. And so remember, there's something that we can put our hope in, and that is our loving Heavenly Father through His Son by His Holy Spirit. He's for you and He's not against you. So is there anything you need to do?
I do have a few prayer requests, and I do need to mention one more sponsor, Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And then I do want to remind y'all, today is Thursday. We will be having the truth broadcast. So after the program is over, we'll end Facebook. We'll get everything set back up, and then we will come back with the truth broadcast. And it'll be a word from Pastor Dwight. He's not in the building, though, y'all. But you don't want to miss this one. And then we do have a few prayer requests. Continue to pray for Max, who has court today at 3 o'clock in Texas. And then continue to pray for Kaylin Lovell, my bonus daughter, who has court this Friday at 9 a.m. God has really shown her mercy and grace, because this charge could be up to 10 years. But because God is so merciful and loving, they are considering her for drug court. But up there, they call it community sentencing. So, hallelujah.
Praise God.
And then we want to continue to pray for Niall Vale and his family. Hospice is there with Niall.
Okay.
So,
all right.
We want to...
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. We got the two prayer requests for people that are appearing before the court of law. You know, and so, you know, this is one of those things that we generally want to hide, you know, if we've got a relative, or maybe even we got to go to court or whatever, you know, especially if we're Christians, you know, and we think, gosh, we don't want anybody to know, but God knows. God knows. And we're going to lift these up. And as I do, I'm gonna include the ones, your loved ones, whoever it may be. Thank you, Father. We just love you, and we thank you, Father, for what you are doing in Max. Father, we pray that the inside work will change the outside. I pray that you open up his eyes, give him an understanding, Lord God, that you are there, and I give you thanks for it, Lord God, and for the changes in his life. We thank you in advance, Lord God, and we pray for Kaylin, Lord God, and we thank you for the mercy that you have shown. Lord, I do pray concerning the grace in Kaylin. I pray, Lord God, that you would begin to reveal to her the reason for her existence. I pray, Lord, that you would begin to expose new ideas, new strategies to her mind, to her heart, Lord God, that is way beyond what she's facing here. Help her to find her identity in you. And Lord, we do pray for those that are facing charges or whatever it may be. Maybe they're battling over a child or this or that, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that your favor shines on your people. And I pray, Lord God, that you turn the heart of the king. I give you praise for it. Thank you. Lord, we pray for Niall and his family in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we curse death just according to your words, Lord God. We curse death in Jesus' name. that death is not going to rob this family, but that you, Lord God, you are the one that is the focal point in this. Lord God, I pray, Father, that many be touched by this experience, that many turn to you concerning this, Lord God. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. I pray, Father, that whatever may hinder your relationship with him in his heart, Lord God, I pray, Father, you touch those areas. I thank you for giving peace. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
No music or anything. We're just moving forward. Okay. Sorry, guys. You just got me. You know, the last thing that I want to bring out of this is probably the most obvious and the one that is, you know, that I can relate to the most, and that is the rocks that we carry. You know, it's interesting. I find myself, it's so interesting that I see this pattern in my life. You know, and this pattern that, you know, sometimes I'm on top of the world and sometimes the world's on top of me. You know, I mean, I can't help but believe that we don't all go through that. You know, and what's the difference? Is the world carrying you or are you carrying the world? You know, and the point being made in this story I read to you, that when we carry the stuff that we're not intended to carry, what are we doing? Now, I'm included. I'm here. I'm with you. You know, why do we do this? You know, and so there's a few things that I want to bring out. You know, the first is Jesus says, "Come unto me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest." You know, this, I'm telling you, just the normal everyday operations will eventually wear you out. I mean, you're dealing, it's not the problem usually, unless it's just a major catastrophe. You know, I'm talking about these little weights. It's not the big weights that gets us, it's the little ones. It seems like when the big weight hits, you know, that, I mean, God's grace is there, you know, and we turn to him immediately, and it may be a traumatic experience, whatever it may be, but it's those little ones that get us. You know, we got a little problem here, and you know what, yeah, okay, we're going to fix it later, and then we find another little problem here, and little problems, and then, Lord, watch the news. Goodness gracious, I have to watch myself because I want to know what's going on. I want to be on the inside on all this stuff. Well, let me tell you something. Some of this stuff we don't need to be on the inside. You know, and I look at how our country's changing and remember, you know, I think I shared this with you last week, but remember, there are two ruling spirits in this world. Two ruling spirits. The first spirit is what you call the spirit of Antichrist. John 2,000 years ago said that spirit's here today, now, yes. In his time. It hasn't left. And so if we don't understand that our battle is not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, rulers of dark world, spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, it's in the spirit world. You know, and we got to understand that this is the spirit of Antichrist that rules this world. I got a flash for you. God doesn't rule this world. The spirit of Antichrist does. And there's one reason why is because we have allowed the spirit of Antichrist to rule. So how does he rule? And we're talking about the rocks we carry. How does he rule? He rules through connecting what the Bible calls our flesh or our sinful nature. So now think about it. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you don't know Jesus, is what I'm saying. What are you going to be drawn to? You're going to be drawn to that which benefits you. What is it? What does it work on? It works on me, me, me. Because we see it in the beginning, Lucifer created this system. That's why Jesus said he rules this world. He said, if you hear Jesus talking, you know one thing for sure. Or Jesus said, if you hear Satan talking, you know one thing for sure. He's lying. You know, and so, and that's the deception that's in this world. You know, and so what is bringing it about? They're connecting to the flesh. You know, because what is the agenda? The agenda is we want God out of the picture. We're going to take care of this. That's what Nimrod said. We're going to build a tower to heaven. That's the whole spirit of Antichrist right there. We're going to do it. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to eliminate poverty. We're going to create a utopian society that, you know, we don't need God. Yeah, right. Reminds me of the story that the scientists were making leaps and bounds in their discoveries. And they even found that they could create components in transplant, you know, into human bodies, components from another body or whatever, they could create and bring survival to those that are the transplants are being put into. Well, the story goes on that they discovered, you know what, we can create a human being. And so the scientists got together and they said, they went to God and says, God, we don't think we need you anymore. We have figured out how to create man. And God comes back and he says, man, I tell you what, I'll have to say I am very proud of you guys. The leaps and bounds you've made. And, you know, even to create a human being, that is absolutely amazing. I'm just proud of you. He said, but, you know, in this man-making contest, why don't we have in man-making thought, why don't we have a contest here? And so the scientists, they huddled together and said, yeah, we can do this. And so they said, okay, let's do it. And so they all get together, and God's standing there, and the scientists on the other side, and there's a pile of the purest dirt right in front of them. And so God says, well, you know, I've been doing this a while. I think I want to let you go first. And they said, okay. And so one of the scientists reached down to grab a handful of that dirt to start the operation. And God stops him. He says, now, wait a second. You go get your own dirt.
Come on.
You know, and so we see that this is the way that, you know, media and everything is turning that way. You know, we got superhero movies. And so what is this significant about? Now, believe me, I grew up reading comics. I've watched a lot of those superhero movies. But what is this significant about? What's the significance? They are trying to say that we can be superheroes in ourselves. And, you know, if you want to get down to the science and the dark rooms of scientific experimentation, they are creating through eugenics, they're creating what you call perfect human beings, or they're trying to. So, I mean, they're matching DNA and cross-matching and all this kind of stuff. I know it's not out in the forefront, but it's there. You know, and this is what they're saying. You know what? We don't need you. We can create superhuman abilities. And I'm telling you that it's happening. You know, and so we're looking at this and we're thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, on top of all the problems that I have in my little life, I got this one. And we think, you know, I actually went through a period of depression here recently because of things going on in politics in the world, and thinking, man, I got to do something. I got to fix this. Lord, you know, what can I do? Help me. You know, I want to fix this. You know, and nothing. I just feel like I'm worthless. Just like Jimmy. You know, I can't fix it. And then I remembered, I can't fix it anyway. You know, and so don't allow the things you can't do to burden you to the point where you can't do what you can do. I know that's a lot of cans in there, but, and that's what happens. We get so burdened on looking at the problem. Remember the saying I have, Monica? You never see the answer when you're looking at the problem. Never will. And so, you know, when we are focused on the problem, that's going to encompass your mind and your heart. Who is meant to encompass your mind and your heart? Peace of God. Peace of God that passes understanding. So, you know, we got to recognize, because the little rocks is really what gets us. The little rocks, because they pile up. And before you know, you're carrying a load. Yeah, God didn't intend for you to carry this load. I'm talking to you. He didn't intend for it. You got to recognize what it is that the Lord does want you to carry. Because he said, if you're carrying my load, it's going to bring the energy that you need. It will. It's called grace. Grace. We think about grace, and we're thinking about, well, grace is covering my mistakes. And in essence, it is, but that's more mercy. What grace is, let me give you a definition. Grace is God's power in you to do what you can't do in yourself. And, you know, just speaking about that, for me to get up here and talk in this microphone here, this is the grace of God. If it was up to me, I never would have done this. You know, who'd ever think I'd be talking on this program this morning? I wouldn't have. You know, but it's just been the grace of God moving in my life. The grace of God is going to move to help you carry the rock that you were built for. If you're not built for it, don't carry it. The scripture tells us, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. And so, you know, this has just been something I never would have thought to go this direction, but the Holy Spirit knows, and he knows you need to hear this morning or afternoon, evening, whatever time you're listening to this. You know, and so recognize the stone. Recognize it. If you don't recognize it, you'll be overburdened by it. Take the right stone. The stone that the builders rejected, take that one. You know, and while you're taking, ask him if you can have the parts that they rejected. That's what I do, you know. I mean, if they don't want it, I want it, Lord. Give me some more of that. You know, and you will find a life of meaning and purpose, and you will find that you will flow in this love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control, and those things, meekness in there too. You know, in these things that you'll find your shoulders a lot less burdensome. Your sleep will be better. I'm speaking to you. And your health's going to be better. You know, I mean, just one thing in closing. You know, when we allow these burdens to carry these burdens around continually, which we were not designed to do, it's going to affect your body. And you may think, well, why? You know, I'm a healthy person. Why am I getting sick? Well, what are you carrying? You know, and so then we get sick and we think, oh my gosh, I got so much to do. I can't afford just to sit here. You know, I got to get it. You ain't got time to be sick. No. You know, and so this is another thing that we do. So, you know, this is, when we carry too many stones, it's going to affect you mentally, spiritually, and physically. Jesus has got your back. When you received him, you received all the help you're ever going to need for anything you're ever going to face for the rest of your life on this earth. If I'm talking to somebody that maybe you go to church, maybe you hang out with Christian people, maybe you act like a Christian, but you don't know what I'm talking about. It's really easy, very simple, just like Jimmy did. He realized what the real rock is. And I can tell you, if you want that in your life, all you have to do is ask. I want that. And I promise you, you will receive. Because God denies nobody. I don't care what's in your closet. What are the things you're hiding? He's there. He wants to take your life and make it into something that you never dreamed of. I want to tell you one other thing that, no, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to leave it there. I was going to say, get with somebody that knows more about him. What I want you to do is I want you to open up God's word. I want you to start just like I did in the book of Matthew. Start reading that. And I want you to get a notebook out. And I want you, you don't have to write out the verse or the words. Just write like it's Matthew 1, verse 5. Write that down. If that speaks to you, write it down. And I want to know how many of those verses are going to speak to you by the time you get to Matthew chapter 6. If you're like me, you're going to put that notebook aside and you're going to realize this whole book's talking to me. He wants to talk to you. Get in there. Listen to what he has to say. I'm going to close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this message. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us another gift. Lord God, and I pray, Lord God, that this is impressed upon our hearts and our minds, Lord, that it is a life-altering, a life-changing component in what you want to do in our life, something we'll never forget. I thank you for it, Lord God. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That was so good, so good. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our handsome brother in Christ, Rick Spain. Y'all have a blessed Thursday, and we'll see you tomorrow. And stay tuned. Following the program, we'll be back with a word from Pastor Dwight.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.